Just going to take a moment and ask you a more macro question that goes across tumor lines. As you mentioned, we were in your city, Boston, doing a multi-tumor thing. And, you know, we had your colleague, Lisha Sequist, there talking about lung cancer. And we were also talking about BRAF positive disease and colorectal cancer. And those things are kind of buzzing around in my mind as I talk to you. And one of the things that's kind of interesting, Alicia's really been talking about this a lot for the last year, the thing that they see in lung cancer, which is that people with targetable mutations don't do well in immunotherapy, and yet that's really not the case, right? The patient with BRAF is just as likely in melanoma to respond to a checkpoint inhibitor as BRAF negative. Is that right?
Absolutely right. Yep.
So in your own mind, when you think about these three diseases, lung cancer, colorectal cancer, I'm just kind of curious what your thoughts are about this, particularly in lung cancer, where, you know, they're really delaying checkpoint therapy, and yet in melanoma, it's just a totally different ballgame. What do you think is going on biologically?
Yeah, no, I think the evidence is there, actually, to explain it. So remember, I was commenting before about tumor mutation burden and this kind of, you know, genetic complexity concept. You know, we've got a bunch of retrospective data that tells you that the tumors that are driving high PD-1 response rates are the ones that have the highest mutation burden. Now, ALK, translocated non-small cell lung cancer, and ROS, translocated non-small cell lung cancer, are probably the extreme examples of really quite genetically simple tumors. EGFR mutant, I would maybe, you know, kind of put adjacent to those, but similarly, these are not high mutation burden tumors. Remember, these are mostly non-smokers that have those genotypes in non-small cell lung cancer. So hold those for a moment. Come over to melanoma. Almost all of melanoma is at a higher mutation burden level at baseline than those subsets of non-small cell lung cancer. It maps over to smokers' non-small cell lung cancer in terms of mutation burden. So we have our UV-associated melanomas and smoking non-small cell, bladder, you know, these kind of high DNA damage-related cancers. That's where the through line seems to be in terms of where there's a consistent, pretty high response rate to PD-1 antibodies. But if you go fishing down into the low mutation burden tumors, that's where it starts to weaken. So I was suggesting before, you know, in response to one of your questions about how do we break this tie between, you know, for BRAF mutant patients, targeted therapy versus immune therapy, we know from the published data that there's a whole spectrum in that population of some younger patients, particularly with quite low mutation burden, and then others, particularly the older folks, who have quite a high mutation burden in association with their BRAF mutation. And so I suspect that in melanoma, we're actually going to start to be able to discriminate, maybe not as starkly as in non-small cell lung cancer, where they've got, you know, EGFR, ALK, ROS, and they kind of triage those patients up front to targeted therapy and then reconsider immunotherapy later. In melanoma, I think we're going to have, you know, a group for whom we're going to have even more confidence assigning them to BRAF-MEK therapy if they're low mutation burden, and then PD-1-based therapy if they're high. But we got more work to do on this topic. There's prospective trials that are being mounted now, cross tumor types, in fact, to really try to set a mutation burden cut point on a, you know, couple hundred, few hundred gene NGS test, you know, the type of test that you can get now from a handful of commercial laboratories as well as academic labs.
That's interesting. Any explanation? I don't know how well it's documented in the literature, but I've heard a couple of investigators. I know Alice Shaw at your place has done a lot of work on ALK. Talk about patients who have very high PD-1 levels with ALK, but yet don't respond to checkpoint inhibitors. What do you think is going on there?
Yeah, no. So I think this issue about measuring tumor inflammation is the other side of the coin, right? So I'm talking about mutation burden as like kind of, you know, adjacent to the kind of testing of the genetic alterations themselves. But you're absolutely right that the flip side of this is how much immune engagement is there at baseline in any of these tumors, and how much does that tell us about the people who are going to respond or not? And you're absolutely right that there are definitely patients who have baseline tumor inflammation. So they've got T cells in there. They're secreting interferon. That's driving PD-L1 expression on the tumor cells. And yet they are not one drug away, if you will, you know, a single agent PD-1, PD-L1 antibody away from responding. They've got other layers of immunosuppression different than the folks, particularly those with high mutation burden, who also have baseline tumor inflammation, PD-L1 expression on the tumor, who are one drug away. But remember, you know, even in the tumors that we call baseline highly inflamed and high mutation burden, with single agent PD-1 antibodies, we're still not cracking above 50% response rates, right? So MSI high colon, when you were talking about colorectal cancer and the BRAF mutant subpopulation of colorectal cancer, those are mostly MSI high cases, the BRAF mutant right-sided colon cancer cases. So those are in the running for response to PD-1 antibodies. But even in that population, it's still a 50% response rate. So it's telling you that even in the tumors that are, you know, pre-wired with all of these mutations, you know, what we think of as mutated neoantigens, lots of baseline T cell recognition in the tumor, that still there must be other mechanisms that are protecting those tumors and basically mediating de novo resistance to PD-1 antibodies. So, of course, this is, you know, the hottest area in all of oncology drug development, is trying to come up with strategies to, you know, be able to, you know, elevate that response rate in those baseline T-cell inflamed tumors. And, you know, there's people who obviously have been putting a lot of time and effort into next immune therapies to try to crack that nut. But I think this discussion points to the fact that maybe there's actually targeted immunocombos that are going to be impactful in terms of trying to be able to potentiate a response in these tumors.